Outside the Box.
Welcome to February's Outside the Box. I'm Hannah Dunleavy and I'm joined as ever by Mickey Noonan.
Waka waka waka.
Bye. And Jen Offord.
Oh dear God, hello.
So lots of stuff coming up. In fact, too much for me to talk about. I'm just going to talk about one because that's all I've got time for. And it's the one that I think everybody should watch of what's coming up. And that is second series of The Dry arrives next week on ITVX. Nancy Harris's really, really brilliant comedy drama about a woman who's trying to give up drinking and ill-advisedly decides that living with her parents might help. It is wonderful. You loved it too, didn't you, Mickey?
I did. It's so beautifully well observed and drawn, and the characters are all utterly charming and utterly fucked up. Big relate.
Yeah. I think you'd love it, Jen. I genuinely think you would love it too. I don't think there's ever been something that ticks a box for my life experience, your life experience, and Mickey's life experience all in one television programme, but it does.
Yeah, really does. Give it a go.
Also, quite a lot of stuff on offer this month. At least three things of which I watched and just went, nah, like and bailed really quite quickly. I don't think you've watched any of these, so stop me if you have. Kin, series two has arrived. I did predict that since series one was doing really well and series two had been out in Ireland for ages, that it would arrive here quite quickly. It has. Family drama about a gang, I suppose, a family crime gang, which I thought was a bit hit and miss. It was watchable, though, and contains the wonderful Charlie Cox. I watched one, maybe two episodes of this. Maria Doyle Kennedy is wonderful. The family is completely disrupted by the fact that their dad, who's played by Frances McGee, has been released from prison. The reason I decided not to watch any more of this is I'm just not in the mood to watch something in which everybody's in fear of their life for like four episodes. Do you know what I mean? That tension that you feel when watching stuff like that, I just wasn't in the mood for that. So I decided not to stick with it. I'm sure it's probably as good as, I mean, Frances McGee is great. So I'm sure it's probably as good as the first series, which again, I wasn't 100% sold on. The only reason I'm really watching this is for Charlie Cox. And if I'm going to watch hours and hours of something for Charlie Cox,
just rewatch Daredevil.
The second series of Boardwalk Empire, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Trouble with that is I'll end up watching all of Boardwalk Empire and I just don't have time for that. Anyway, also something that I tried and bailed quite early with, in fact, a lot earlier than I did with series two of Kin, is Expats, which is based on a novel by Janet Y.K. Lee and directed by film director Lulu Wang. It is set in Hong Kong amongst the mega rich and it's about the disappearance of a child.
Has he got Nicole Kidman's weird face in it?
Yeah.
Right.
And I was about 10 minutes in and I just thought, you know what? I'm done with this pantomime. I am absolutely done with it. If I watch this, I'm part of the problem. I'm absolutely sick of being expected to believe that Nicole Kidman is young enough to have small children when she's 56. I'm too old to have two young children. I mean, I know that she's a rich woman and she could have gone and had IVF. But everything she's in, she's cast as a woman younger than her. Then we're in this just sick cycle of which she gets cast as younger women and has more and more in order to look younger. And I just think it should stop. So I'm out.
Hannah Dunleavy voting with her feet there.
Yeah.
Give her an age-appropriate role, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Right age-appropriate roles
for
women.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, absolutely. The New Look on Apple TV, which is about the drama between Christian Dior and Coco Chanel. In a fashion,
and you wanted
really
to
my...
watch this because...
Heather, this does not sound like your bag at all.
It's a big drama set in the 1940s.
Well, I suppose history. Yeah.
And it stars Juliette Binoche and Ben Mendelsohn, who are both really great. Oh. And I got as far as, and this is probably a record, I got as far as the opening credits card. During World War II, the Germans occupied Paris for 4 years, forcing the French to submit to Nazi authority and oppression. This is the story of how creation helped return spirit and life to the world. Oh, do fuck off.
I'm wonder how much detail they go into about Coco Chanel's dealings with the Nazis, because I will tell you that the Little People, Big Dreams or whatever series does, the little books they
skims
have
over it
for
a bit.
Children, it does gloss over that detail.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tell you, Jen, because I'm not watching something that just brushes off the idea that the mass trauma suffered by the entire world
here's a dress
in the Second World War can be fixed by a dress. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Season 5 of Fargo is also available on Amazon, and I just didn't have the time for that. Most of the Fargos so far have been infinitely watchable. Anyway, let's talk about something that we've actually watched more than 5 minutes of. In fact, all three of us have watched a whole series of, which is really pretty rare. Can't remember the last time. Succession was probably the last time that happened. Mm. True Detective, Night Country, which we did talk about last week.
Last month. Time is a flat circle, Hannah. No one knows.
It really is. Somebody said that this week, didn't they? Only 6 episodes to this one. Set in Alaska during the period in which there is no daylight. And as I said, darkness doesn't always really work in drama. And I mean literal darkness. Because quite often you can't see what the fuck's going on. I think it worked a bit better in this one. Stars Jodie Foster and Kaylee Reese. My conclusion is exactly the same conclusion I came to at the end of the first one, in which I think that the actual plot is pretty flawed. But I didn't care, because I found both of them to be quite interesting portraits of unusual people and how they interact with other unusual people. And I think they were both absolute, in the same way with McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. I think that Foster and Reese, they are proper powerhouse performances, and I really enjoyed watching them. And when it got to the end, and I thought it was all sewed up a bit daftly, to be honest, for me, I remember that was a lot of people's reaction to series one. And I just thought, do you know what? I don't care, because I've actually enjoyed watching one of the best actresses in the world be one of the best actresses in the world. But perhaps even more impressively, someone who's not even an actress turning out a performance that was worthy of one of the best actresses in the world. Reese, I mean, she's originally a boxer. So I would say it was absolutely not a waste of my time to watch it, that there were some really enjoyable moments. What do you guys think?
I agree with everything that you've just said. The other series are all 8 episodes. And what I wish is that this had either been 8 episodes as well, or had lost some of the stuff that kind of got distracted. Unruly teenager, wife unhappy being a cop's wife, sister with mental health issues, which were all interesting, but kind of took away from the main plot. Episode 5, I was like, do you guys remember that 5 scientists have been killed?
Yeah.
But again, it feels a bit like nitpicking, because it was absolutely glorious to see 2 women inhabit those roles that were made pretty iconic by McConaughey and Harrelson and do their thing, and for it all to be quite women-centred. And sure, you know, I'm not saying that you should murder people. I don't think murder's a good thing in any sort of situation. It's a big no from me to murdering. But women taking control of something that they knew the police would not have their back on and hadn't had their back on was really quite refreshing to watch. And I loved the spookiness. I loved that Issa Lopez didn't lose that in the last episode. She still left some supernatural elements hanging, which I think is part of why True Detective is so glorious, because there is always this little bit of, are they ghosts? What's going on? Is this magical? And she left some of that whilst giving a really decent explanation as to what had actually happened. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I've got to say, I don't think there have been 2 women with such a refreshing attitude to sex on television for such a long time. Both of them.
Oh yeah, but I think
she lied.
I think Danvers was a bit like fucking the pain away, wasn't she? Kind of thing.
Yeah. Aren't we all, Jen? Aren't we all? Yeah.
Well, in a way, Hannah, I thought they were great. I've got like a proper girl crush on
Kaylee Reese.
And
I love that we get to see some of her boxing talent as well, quite a few times.
I really enjoyed what they did with the characters. I thought that they, like, the way they kind of have had to take on some quite, I don't know, quote unquote, like, masculine sort of characteristics in order to do the jobs that they do. But, like, I don't know, and I thought it was a really good exploration of grief. Yeah, I just thought it was brilliant. The ending was, I think you're right, Hannah, it was sort of like sewn up a bit neatly, but I fucking loved it. I really, yeah. Again, big no to murder, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was like, fair enough. But then one aspect of it, which we're not going to spoiler this, right? Are we not going to spoiler it?
No, let's not spoil it.
Let's not spoiler it. I still have questions, though, which maybe we'll talk about not here.
Yeah, I think, though, Mick said, there are always hanging questions in this. It's a recommend from me. If you don't like it, you don't like it. There is not much like it on TV.
Agreed. Yeah, no. Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been talking for quite a lot. Mickey, what have you been watching?
I've been watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Nope, not the 1996 Scott Bakula, and Maria Bello spy rom-com CBS series. Not the 2005 Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie spy rom-com film, but Amazon Prime's spy rom-com 8-parter starring Donald Glover as Mr. and Maya Erskine as Mrs. Glover also shares creator credits with Francesca Sloan, who I believe was one of the writers on Atlanta, which you both really liked, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of stopped watching in the third series, I think, is something I've been thinking about going back to.
Actually, I think I stopped at the end of the second series for no reason other than I think I just forgot to ever go back to it.
I think that's what happened with me as well.
And Glover also shares writing credits on the first and last episode. I'm 5 episodes in and, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Smart, fast, funny, occasionally violent, always playful, and with 2 incredible leads. Seriously, Glover and Erskine's chemistry as John and Jane Smith is something else. And sure, they're causing chaos and death for money and taking orders from a shadowy spy company, but while they're clearly nails, like they are nails as hell, they're also very human and really vulnerable. Think sort of Martin Blank in Gross Point Blank, you know, hitman with a heart. Add to that some lush locations, Bond-style action sequences, and a smorgasbord of guest stars, including in the episodes I've watched, and I'm only 5 in, Alexander Skarsgård, Paul Dano, Sharon Horgan, Parker Posey, John Turturro, and Ron Perlman, all unsurprisingly excellent, none of them stealing the show, although Perlman throwing a tantrum dressed in a just long enough t-shirt did come pretty close. I don't know that your mum could handle it, Hannah. Married spies, you say? Is it reminiscent of the Americans? Like, well, of course it is. But one, who's complaining about that? And 2, it's much lighter, like so much lighter, much warmer. And as yet, there's nothing even approaching the suitcase scene when it comes to graphic content. Besides which, the Smiths are new to it all. And unlike the Jennings, often look properly done in by what they've just had to dole out. And while the Jennings were sometimes pretty tough to love, if you love them at all, the Smiths are a different kettle of wedded assassins. Utterly charming.
Well, they're not Russians, are they?
Not Russians. Utterly charming, while also utterly untrustworthy. I'm really enjoying it. I think you two would absolutely love it. It's so good.
Talking of James Bond-style sequences, I did watch a couple of Trigger Points. Series 2 is on ITVX. And it is very much big TV. I don't always get on with big TV. You know, The Bodyguard, that sort of thing. I didn't really like Vigil. Everyone else thought Vigil was amazing. I didn't really like it. It has a lot of whiz bang. Well, more bangs than whizzes, to be honest. Although I'm sure people urinate, just not during it. There is a lot of bombs. There is a lot of drama. I would say too much. There's a lot more of the "we've got to defuse this bomb" going on. I stopped after 2 episodes. I don't really want to say much more because I don't think it's bad TV. In fact, I think people probably will love it. It's just not my sort of thing. Vicky McClure obviously is ace. Also, Kerry Godleman's in there. She doesn't get quite enough to do. She's a very solid drama actress.
Yeah, she's really good.
Watched the first episode of the first series and then, like, there's a dismembered arm in the first, like, half, and I was, do you know what? I think I'll probably just quietly withdraw from this one.
Okay, definitely don't watch the second one, Jen.
Do you think your limits for this kind of stuff are getting lower?
Do you think eventually it's going to be there's a broken fingernail and you're like, I'm out.
Tell you what, when
I'm
they
out.
Go back, though.
Don't. Recoiling in horror. I was mostly all right with True Detective, so...
Didn't you say you watched 3 episodes on your own in a rush and it was the ones where there are, like, jump scares, basically. I was like,
poor Jen. Spooky shit. And I didn't, I don't think I should have done that, if I'm honest. But yeah, it depends very much on the quality of what I'm watching. I think it's fair to say.
Right, I'm going to suggest we take a break here, and then we're going to come back and talk about the quality of what you're watching specifically, Jen.
All right, Mickey here with an advert for BetterHelp Therapy Online. You all right? Such a small question, and sometimes such a big question too, eh? Now, regular listeners will know I am no stranger to depression, and while over time, and with the help of some decent counselling and brilliant friends and family, I've established a toolkit to help when the constantly dripping tap of life gets a bit too much. That does not mean I am a stress-free human rainbow skipping through meadows. I mean, who is? We all carry around different stresses, big and small, and sometimes we can deal, and sometimes it's much harder to cope. Life, innit? Right now, I have a teenage puppy to deal with, and although I love her very, very much, she can be a lot. There, said it. And as quick a fix as it seemed to say, I'm fine, and push it all down into the big inside box and put that lid on. For me, that hasn't been a great long-term solution, in that if I don't get it off my chest, it will at some point come bubbling up, and it's never been one to pick its moments in a good way. I find talking means I can avoid it exploding out of me like a messy emotional volcano all over my nana's carpet. Also, during my various times in talk therapy, I discovered that saying something out loud or writing it down can make it seem much more manageable than allowing it to swirl around and grow ever bigger in my head. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I've found knowing how to reach out is sometimes the toughest bit, but BetterHelp is entirely online. Boom. Which means it couldn't be easier. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a registered therapist, then work your sessions around your schedule. With more than 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Standard Issue listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/standard. That's betterhelp.com/standard.
Welcome back. Jen, fill us in on what Dismembered Arms elsewhere you might have been watching or not watching.
No dismembered arms in this, but quite a lot of heavy breathing.
Apologies.
So I have been watching, at least I've watched one... I have watched one episode of ITV drama, because I am the ITV drama correspondent here, of Breathtaking, which is a medical drama based on a book by Rachel Clark and written by Rachel Clark and Jed Mercurio, among others, about the COVID-19 pandemic and the NHS frontline staff specifically who had to deal with it, and about, you know, the utter horror and trauma that they went through in that time, which you kind of talked about on the podcast before when I spoke to Jackie Honus Martin about maternal and things like that.
The sadly cancelled maternal.
Yes, the sadly, the fucking tragically cancelled maternal, but whatever, ITV. So I watched the first episode. It's got Joanne Frogger in it as the central character, as a consultant in, I think she's an acute medicine or A&E consultant, and obviously dealing with those early days of the pandemic when Boris Johnson was twatting around shaking people's hands and telling us all it was okay to do so. There's a lot of footage of, you know, the press conferences and things like that that were happening at the time sort of mixed in with it, and I have to say I found it really, really, really hard to watch. My mum loved it. She was absolutely gripped by it. I think probably like most of us, I am still carrying a little bit of unresolved trauma. Because whenever I see those press conferences, whenever I see footage of those press conferences, I feel very anxious and panicky and like, don't make me go back. Don't make me go back. I found that totally distracting, and I couldn't really deal with it. I think like Joanne Frogger gives a fantastic performance. I'm sure it's really good. But for me, I was just like, no, I can't really do this.
It sounds a bit like an ITV version, and I don't mean that as an insult, to Michael Winterbottom's thing, This England.
Which, the Kenneth Branagh one.
Where Branagh played Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
Which made me just want to throw my television outside made me feel angry in a way that I didn't even really feel in the pandemic, because it it just put everything in the one place and you were just, I'm fucking furious.
Yeah. And also we know now what we didn't know at the time. At the time, I think there was an element of like, we've all just got to get through this. But like certainly in the early bit, and then obviously as it transpired that they really were utterly incompetent, the anger began to set in later on. But like knowing what we do now about like the PPE contracts and things like that, and obviously this shows the doctors who don't have access to the PPE. Yes, yeah, it's hard on that level as well, because the anger that you feel towards those people is staggering. Let's have a general election, please. Anyway,
absolutely. The emotions aside, it's really interesting that we have this hugely historical event that we've all lived through.
And yeah.
It's being condensed so soon after the fact, right? Which isn't usual. It's usually way down the line that we condense stuff and we look at things with the hindsight of what came next. Hilary Mantel used to talk really beautifully about history and how all we have when it's our present is what's in front of us. And we are all just dealing with, you know, the doctors were like just having to deal with it without the PPE. And they didn't know at the time just how bad things were going to get, even working in the medical profession. So to have this like 2 years after it is incredible that we can condense history so fast, I think.
When I was looking for something on Now the other day, I noticed that on The Wheel, the HBO version of Larry Kramer's The Normal Heart is on there, and I would advise anyone watch that because it's really good. It was originally a play. That's about the early days of the AIDS crisis. And it kind of has a similar sort of vibe in the sense of just this utter panic at the start of what's happening. We're not ready for this. I mean, that's different, obviously, because that's about trying to get the government to take it seriously over a longer period, over like years. But yeah, a lot of those things came out while it was happening. Like a lot of those things, like Angels in America and those sort of, and When the Band Plays On, all came out during the crisis. And it is interesting because sometimes that makes things a little bit dated because you go back and think, oh, we've learned even more information now about this. But yeah.
Yeah. I've interviewed Rachel Clark a good few years back now, and she was specialising in hospice care, end of life care then. And she's a phenomenal voice for the NHS and for the medical profession. So yeah, ITV or not, I'd be interested to see it. But I'm not sure I can deal with the levels of anxiety because I think I'd feel the same as you, Jen. But I will say, it will never fail to delight me that someone with the surname Frogger is a big deal.
Yeah. Jen, what else have you been watching then?
Okay, so I watched the first episode of... I actually was watching it this morning. You might be able to see it's paused behind me.
We don't do this morning on...
sorry.
I've been watching this excellent new thing called This Morning.
I don't know if you've heard of it.
Holly Willoughby?
Don't think she's on it anymore, mate. Anyway, I've been watching the first episode of Alice and Jack.
Ooh,
have you heard of
this? Oh, yes. Domhnall Gleeson and Andrea Riseborough.
Aisling B.
And Aisling B. And you would think from that cast that it would be, like, really, really good, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm not quite finished the first episode yet. I think I am going to go back and hate watch the second. But, like, what can I say about this? Basically, Alice and Jack meet on a dating app. They get together. They have sex. And she ruthlessly turfs him out and then is like, no, I don't want to talk to her anymore. And then they end up, like, getting back together. And then she dumps him again. And then years later, when he's happily married to Aisling B., and has a child with her, she gets back in touch and I assume sparks will fly, but I'm not that far into it yet. Basically, Andrea Riseborough's character, Alice, is an insufferable cunt. Just horrible. Just
tell
horrible.
Us how you really feel, Jen.
I just can't. And he is the wettest blanket. He's like a wet sock. I instantly don't care about what happens to either of these people. Now, I know, because I've read some reviews of it, that we're going to see that there's been some trauma in Alice's past, which is why she is the way she is. But I say, get a therapist and stop making it other people's problems. that's as far in as I am. They're awful. I can't understand.
Best review we've had in a while, Jen. I can't understand. Mickey, we've lost Jen. Well, not lost her, as in lost
Hannah. This is Jen, this has become a very violent
died,
episode.
To be clear, she hasn't died.
No, she's had to go. So lacking in comprehension for what she just watched that she's gone for a lie down.
She's gone to do an interview, and to be honest, I don't think she would have been interested at all in what I'm going to finish up with. In fact, I don't think many people are, because not everybody's back. Plus, it's on Apple TV, so it's not being very widely watched. Which is a shame, because I could talk about this for about an hour and a half, I think, if I put my mind to it. Masters of the Air, which is the third part of a trilogy of World War II dramas by the creative team of Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks. Started with Band of Brothers in 2001. Have you ever seen Band of Brothers?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's about the 101st Airborne, who are paratroopers, and it follows them through the war. It's based on a true story. This group managed to tick all the boxes for war experience. You know, they're involved in D-Day. They're in Operation Market Garden. They're at the Battle of the Bulge. They liberate a concentration camp. They take the Eagle's Nest. It's fucking wonderful. I love it. Part two, The Pacific, which was released in 2010. It's based on three different books by three different men. And therefore, it's not as cohesive. And also, the war in the Pacific is a very much a different war. In fact, if it seems possible that it can be a harder war than the war they were fighting in Band of Brothers, they're fighting it in the Pacific. In fact, I would say we don't really know a lot in this country about the war in the Pacific.
No, we weren't as involved at all, were we?
No. And I think to actually sort of have any opinion, for example, we're watching Oppenheimer in next week's Flicking, to have any opinion in what happened to end the war, you have to understand what happened during the war with Japan. Both of those things are available to watch on Sky and on Now TV, and they're well worth tucking into. Part three, same team, although added to the team. This is being directed by a number of people, including Kerry Joji Fukunaga. You want to hear how I pronounced that the first time? And,
I reckon our listeners can work it out, Hannah.
And also Dee Reese, and also Tim Van Patten, who will be a familiar name to you, Mick. Is involved in The Sopranos, and he was responsible for Boardwalk Empire, which we've already mentioned once. Really solid team. And this is about, again, based on a true story, about the experiences of the 100th Bomb Group, who were known as the Bloody 100th, because they were a proper hard luck unit. They experienced the most staggering amount of deaths. They're in the Flying Fortresses. They're not fighter pilots, they're bombers. So Memphis Belle, which I'm sure most people will have seen or will have heard of. You don't even have to encounter the enemy to die horribly when you're flying one of those things. Things are exacerbated by the fact that both us and the Germans bombed at night because it was safer for pilots to bomb at night than it is to bomb during the day. The Americans had some idea that bombing at night, which is dangerous to the people you're bombing because you're a bit more indiscriminate, you can't really see what you're hitting. They had some idea that there was something immoral in that, and they were going to do all of their raids in daytime, which means they did kill less civilians. But fuck me, they lost a lot of people. I mean, there are 10 people on every one of these planes, and there's a mission that happened last week where 13 planes go out and only one comes back.
Well,
which means 120 people have been shot out of the sky.
Yeah,
it isn't Band of Brothers. Obviously, I'm never going to be as fond of anything as I am of Band of Brothers because it's been on for, like, it's been in my life for 20 years, Band of Brothers. And also because Band of Brothers was made at a time when a lot of those men were still alive, they're actually in it at the start of Band of Brothers.
Oh, it's always really lovely. Yeah.
And so you kind of really feel sort of close to those characters because you know what their faces are now.
And I'd also say we were 20 years closer to that war. And now in those 20 years, there have been so many wars, including like fucking 43 and counting going on today.
Yeah. But I think it is very, very good. I was interested also to see if you're talking about a company that has a turnover of staff, as it were, that is as mad as the turnover of pilots is going to be here. How do you create drama? How do you have a through line? Mm. Because there's going to be different characters turning up all the time. Because, hey, I love this guy.
Oh, he's dead. Yeah.
And I think they're handling it pretty well. It's fronted essentially by Austin Butler, who people will probably know was Elvis in the biopic, and Callum Turner, the British actor who was in the very first series of The Capture. And I have to say, they're both really, really good in it. Also, Barry Keoghan. In fact, Callum Turner and Barry Keoghan have both recently shot up the list of who's going to be the next Bond.
Interesting. And
yeah, Callum Turner, probably based on this performance, is in with a chance. He might be who I put my money on if I was going to go to the bookies. Coming later will be, and I can't remember his name because I don't think I've ever said it, but the new Doctor Who.
Nakuti Gatworth.
Because obviously, one of the problems with this is it's by nature as a drama very white and very male. Although things presumably got so bad towards the end, they were letting Tuskegee Airmen in. So I'm guessing that's what he's coming at.
Right.
Although I would say that Band of Brothers effects have actually aged incredibly well, because they use them little and often, their special effects, as in their digitised effects. Obviously, they have lots of trees exploding. The effects in this are incredible. In fact, there's a scene where Austin Butler's in a plane and he looks out of the window in front of him, and what he sees is just hell on earth. There's just planes dropping out of the sky. There's bodies. There's bits of planes. There's fire. Bullets strafing. There's the vapour trails of it. And it looks like he's flying into hell. And it's incredibly well done. It is really tense. It's really beautiful. It is absolutely not going to be everybody's cup of tea. I wish more people loved stuff like this. I wish more people had Apple TV so we could have a conversation about this. So if you're watching it, person, come join me on Twitter and we can talk about it. I very much like what it is.
It sounds like a very serious version of Blackadder Goes Forth episode Private Plane about the 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I haven't inspired you to join Apple and watch it, have I?
Just don't want to join another streaming service, Hannah. It sounds great. It sounds like I would really like it. You have inspired me maybe to watch Private Plane for the 874th time, yeah. If that's helpful.
Well, my work here is done.
Outside the box.